ministry sharing time. There's a lot happening in the life of the church right now, so we want to make sure we recognize those and we talk about those. First of all, CDT training coming up here. Dave, you want to make mention of the medical issues night coming up, not tomorrow, but the next week, correct? I think I saw the topics because it intrigued me. It's the two topics. He usually gives two talks, and they are compassionate care for addiction and substance abuse. And then it is the first talk, and the second one is how the psychology of addiction complicates biblical counseling. And so I think those are very appropriate topics for our area, and should be very helpful and insightful as we look through that. Dr. Hodges does a great job. Again, he's a family practice physician who is also ACBC certified biblical counselor and instructor. So it's a privilege to be able to have him here and talk about it from both sides there. So other things happening. We had the weekend out at camp this past weekend with high school and college age students. And I am not seeing any camp staff people here to hear a report of how that went. But next week is the junior winter retreat. So that'll be the younger children. I know we have several from our church that'll be going out. Bethany will be going out with the ladies. Alex is going out with the guys. And so we're excited about that. And we'll be praying for that opportunity as well. Continue to pray for the soccer ministry, the outreach that's happening on Tuesdays. I hear good things happening. Kevin, have you been here for these? You have not? Okay. Douglas has been running those. He's downstairs with the youth group, but they've had good turnout. And so that's been, continue to pray for that because that's been a good ministry where he shares the word, teaches them some soccer, and lets them play a little bit too. VBS, there's a meeting next week, and I see the dates are confirmed for June 3rd through the 7th. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. That's a lot earlier than we've been doing it. So make sure you mark your calendars June 3rd through the 7th. We'll be doing VBS right at the beginning of the summer. It'll be a good time for the kids to start their summer off well. So next week's meeting, who should come to that and what will you guys be doing? So it'll be right after the morning service. Lunch is provided down in the gym again. And then what is the theme for this year again? Okay, so any camping type decorations, make sure you see Adam and Haley or someone else working with them, the VBS on that. Also coming up at camp, I just saw this at the bottom here, the Rekindle Marriage Conference, that's March 9th through the 11th. That'll be coming up here in about 3 weeks, so be praying for that. If you're interested in that, contact the camp about that ministry. Any other ministry updates that we want to make sure we remember today? Any other ministry? Yep.
I have one. If anybody would like to volunteer in the Bibles for the jail, I'd like to keep them uniform. In other words, it would be NIV or KM, New King James or King James or New American Standard. But yeah, I'd like to have them uniform so that they all look the same when they're in there. If anybody has any two or three, four things around that.
Okay. Are there any restrictions on the way that they need to be should be able to get into the jail? Like, do they need to be wrapped? Do they need to be new, or can they be used? Okay. Sounds good. So. All right. Well, if you have any Bibles that you would like to donate and just talk to Homer, he'll be able to get you the details on that ministry. Any other updates on the ministry? All right. Well, let's transition to prayer requests. Any prayer requests that we want to keep in mind today? Praying for Pastor and Sherry as they're on their trip. Pray that they would enjoy that week of vacation here. So, how's Don doing today?
Good day today.
Good day today. Praise the Lord.
And that kind of works him up, so
good. Good. So, any other prayer requests we want to remember tonight? Okay.
Him and his family, and for those who don't know, Jonathan has a rare cancer. He is statistically a survivor. He should not be alive. And his sister was a stem cell donor for him, and she just got diagnosed with leukemia. So lots of tragedy in the family, and then his father passed away. His father was a preacher, and Jonathan's a preacher, so they all know the Lord, but that they still need our prayers.
Okay, we'll remember him and his family for sure. Yes.
My brother-in-law in California had a heart attack last Sunday. And we went in and they were able to put a stent in, but the artery was so...
Ministry that we're going to be trialing, that we're going to be launching here soon. But I wanted to take this evening, I just worked out that this would be the night that Pastor is gone, to be able to walk through the purpose, the vision for doing these community groups, give some practical things that will be happening with these, and then be able to maybe answer a few questions if we get time for that at the end. So we're going to walk through the purpose statement and then be able to see exactly how these groups, we envision them to function. Small groups. Groups are done in many different ways in many different churches, and they are, all of them are a little bit different. And so how is it going to work in our context here as we go through and we explore this possibility? I have a few things I want to start off with on the outset, just to kind of set the stage a little bit more. The first thing is by doing this trial and exploring this ministry, we are not saying that we have been doing things bad or what we've been doing is not working. So what we want to do is to be able to explore how to do things the best way possible. Our services are set up in such a way where morning worship is really focusing on the vertical relationship, really focusing on worshiping, getting into the Word, studying. Our Wednesday night services are our service time, either serving in prayer, serving in the children's ministry, serving in other ways. And then our Sunday evening has been our church family night, where we focus on more of the horizontal relationships. We focus on the ministries that are happening and building into one another. And so that's really been the full big picture of how each service is designed. And then as you participate in each of those, you get the full meal, as Pastor would call it. So, but we think that maybe doing these small groups will help us be able to accomplish that goal in a more effective way. So we want to be able to explore these. Second thing is this is not too different from what we've already done. We've done 242 nights in the past. We've done growth groups. We've done home fellowships. But they've always been a little bit different in the fact that those are mainly geared toward a specific thing for a certain time or a special night. And these are going to be something that's a little bit more consistent and a little bit, and we'll see potentially long term. And so they'll have a little bit different flavor here soon, that they're going to have an element of service with it too, that we want to be able to implement as we go through this. Group ministries in general should reflect the ministry and mission of the church. And we're going to work hard to see that that happens. What is the mission of this church is to know Christ and make Christ known. And so that is what our small groups are ultimately wanting to do, know Christ and to make You'll see that play out as we go through this. The other thing is the details are still being worked out. So we don't have all of the answers yet. We're still working on those and working that out. And part of this trial period is we want feedback. We want people to be honest. We want people to give us what works, what doesn't work, what they like, what they dislike. And so that way, when we get to the end of it, we can really, as a leadership group, be able to evaluate and see what adjustments need to be made if we continue with this type of ministry, or if we do something else, or come back to our traditional evening services. So couple of things out there just to be able to kind of set the stage a little bit and maybe answer a few of the questions that are out there. Let me go ahead and read the purpose statement here. It says, to grow in our ability to be the church through spiritual development, intentional connection, and loving service while demonstrating biblical hospitality. Let me read that again. To grow in our ability to be the church through spiritual development, intentional connection, and loving service while demonstrating biblical hospitality. And each one of those statements in there is very intentional and very has something in mind behind it. And I want to walk through the four main sections of that, or five main sections of that. And the first one is to be the church. We're going to flip around to a bunch of different passages today. So be ready. We're going to kind of do an overview of some of those passages just to kind of look through some of these and kind of get an idea. Most of this will be review. Most of this will be familiar things that all of you have heard, but kind of gives you a little bit of the heartbeat behind it. So to be the church, that's something we've talked about a lot around here. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 if you want to start turning there. That we don't view church as a building. We don't view church as something you go to. We don't view church as an activity to participate in, but rather as a community of believers doing life together. And so we continue to live out this mission. That's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It says, and he gave the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers for the work of the ministry. This is something that's been the heartbeat of Wheelersburg Baptist for a long time, that pastor and others are here to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and as they and that we are, as a church, doing the work of the ministry. But what is the work of the ministry? That's often a question that people that we never ask ourselves that question. Well, he answers it for us in the very next statement, for building up the body in Christ. And so building up the body in Christ is talking about discipleship. It's doing the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is bringing people to know the Savior, evangelizing, and then working with them to see them progress in their sanctification, discipling them, teaching them, helping them along, training them. And what is the goal of all of this? You keep going in verse 13, the unity of faith, the knowledge of our Son, mature manhood. Maturity is ultimately the goal. And so to be able to have unity in our understanding, a unity in our faith, unity in our knowledge of who the Son of God is, and be able to maturity, be able to take that knowledge and that unity and live it out in real life. Keep going in verse 14. And so that we are no longer children tossed around to and fro by the waves that come, waves of doctrine that come. And so a stability there, continuing to dig into Scripture and to know and to rest upon that as our foundation. And the way we do that in verse 15, speak the truth in love. We continue to speak the truth, but we do it in a loving attitude, loving heart, because we love the person that we are talking to there. And then you go to the end of verse 16, it says, each part is making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And ultimately, that's what we are after. We are after to be able to, as a church, grow our unity, our knowledge of Christ, as we build into one another and we continue to teach each other, instruct each other, correct each other. All of those things are a vital part of that. And so how do we do that in the most effective way? How do we do that in order to in order to see people grow, use their gifts, use the things that they have been given, and be able to do that in ministry. And there's four different ways that we're going to be the church, hopefully through these groups. And the first one is through spiritual development. We see that in the purpose statement. It says, in our ability to be the church through spiritual development. Many people think when you get into small group ministry that small groups lack in biblical teaching, lack in biblical understanding. And that is not what we want. We still want to be able to expect a high level of Bible teaching, a high level of discussion around the scriptures. We have been fed very well for many years from pastor. We have had many ministries around here, and we want to make sure that we take the truth of scripture and then take it the next step farther, apply that truth to our lives. And we do that through the study and through the spiritual development there. Acts 2:42, you don't have to turn to this one. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And so that is what the early church did as they came together, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And this has been kind of the theme verse for our Acts 2:42 nights in the past. And I think the order here is significant. The first thing they devoted themselves to is the apostles' teaching. And then it was fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And so we want to continue to do that too. We want to continue to study scripture in such a way that is honoring to Him. Next passage I want to go to is 2 Timothy 2:14-17. 2 Timothy 2:14-17, it says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And that talk will spread like gangrene. So, Paul telling Timothy, his understudy, as he is preaching there, that to tell the people as they talk to not do irreverent babble, not to get tied up in quarrels over words and things, but rightly divide the word of truth, to be able to, with pinpoint precision, divide the word of truth in order to understand it and to break it down in order to understand the word of truth and then apply it to your lives. So that way, a worker who need not be ashamed. So that way, you are not ashamed to do the work that Christ has called you to do. So there should not be a dip in our focus or intention of knowing Scripture. And that responsibility lies with everyone. We will continue to be faithfully fed by our pastor. And we should, through our own personal Bible studies, through our other ministries, be growing. And that will add to the group as we all come together for a discussion and as we continue to study Scriptures together. So spiritual development, to know this truth and to be able to apply that truth to our lives. The next part of the statement is intentional connection. And this is the part where a lot of people focus on in the within small groups. And they think of intentional connection, and what they really think of is social interaction. If they were really honest with themselves, they just enjoy a friendship that through that. But we're looking to do more than just friendship. We're looking to do more than just social interaction, but true fellowship. Koinonia, true fellowship, being able to strive together for something. And Grace Fellowship in Kentucky, it's a church that we have done ministry with and things before. They do small groups, and the way that they lay out how their small groups work, we won't do this exactly, but I like the way that they put this part here. They say they have a welcome time, worship, the word, and then work. I like that idea of work, that we are going to take the truth, we're going to develop relationships so that we can go to work in each other's lives. And go to work to do what? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. So in order for that to happen, though, what needs to happen to that iron? They need to connect. They need to be able to be in close proximity. And so as we come together and we study scriptures together and we're able to get to know one another, we're able to apply in a deeper way. But also go to Galatians chapter 5. Not only are we going to be able to sharpen one another because we're going to see each other and how we interact with people, we're going to see each other in our discussions, we're going to help keep each other accountable in our own personal studies and things of that nature, but we're also going to be able to do what it talks about in Galatians chapter 5. And this is going to be a big chunk of scripture here, but I think it's very helpful to give a depiction of what the church should be doing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." And so Paul is here talking to the Galatians. They're being led astray by Judaizers. They've been converted to Christianity. They've placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, these Judaizers come in and say, "Yeah, Christ is there, but you need to add the ceremonial law of the Jewish law in with that." And he's writing to rebuke them for following that. And he's talking about our freedom because we have been set free from the bondage of sin and that we now live by faith. And so what do we do with that faith? It says, as I continue on, "Only do not use that freedom as flesh, but through love serve one another." And so he's calling them, now that you've been set free, now that you don't have to worry about yourself and how you're doing with the law, you can spend your energy looking to your brothers and sisters in Christ and being able to help them, being able to help them along with their walk. And how do we help them? Let's keep going here. It says, "For the whole law can be summed up in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you will be consumed by one another." And then skip all the way down. And we go into this next section here, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which starts in verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." And so you see there the fruit of the Spirit that come in. These are what is a result of the Spirit working in our lives. We're going to display these characteristics more and more of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. And we're going to be able to do that as we walk in step with the Spirit. And what does that give us freedom to do? You can see sandwiched right around this fruit of the Spirit type section. Go into chapter 6. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." So Paul is telling them, go after those who are walking in transgression. Go after those who have been led astray. Go after those who have been have fallen to the temptation of sin and need to be rescued from the darkness. Oftentimes when we get led into sin and we start walking down a path of sin, that we know we need to get back to the light. We need to get back to the narrow path, but we don't know how to get there. And so that is where we can step in and be able to help guide them back to that path and be able to help them along. What else can we do? Although he does give a warning there that we need to watch ourselves lest we be tempted too. But then in verse 2, he says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of love your neighbor as yourself. We need to bear one another's burdens. All of us are going through or will be going through difficult times. We will all be going through things that are hard to be able to handle on our own. But that's what the body of Christ is for. To be able to come alongside and say, "I know this burden is heavy. I know that this yoke is heavy, but let me help carry it for you." That doesn't mean I take it all the way from you. But I'll walk step by step, endure the pain, endure the whatever may come with it. I will help you through this step. And that is we live in the Spirit and walk in step with the Spirit and be able to love one another. And that's what we want to be in these groups as well. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Sorry, I went too far. Verse 5. "For each will have a burden of their own load. Let each of us Let the one who is taught the word share all things with the one who teaches. Now, this is kind of a confusing statement here. What this isn't saying is the one who's doing the teaching gets to share and take whatever they want. But what this is saying is those who are being taught, those of us who have been taught through pastor, through other areas, we need to be able to take that and apply it to our lives. Share in teaching by living out that truth that they have taught. And so that is what we want to be able to do in a deeper way within these groups, is as we walk together, as we see each other's flaws and each other's weaknesses, we're able to correct each other, that we're able to encourage each other to do things this way because it's more God-honoring or more pleasing to Him. And so we can do that as we walk together. It's very difficult to see downfalls. It's very difficult to see the own blinders that you have in your own life. But that is what the body of Christ does, is come alongside and be able to help us to be able to see those blind spots, to be able to see where we are off track and be able to help us get to where we need to be as we grow in our sanctification with the Lord. And it says in verse 10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those in the household of the faith." So yes, we're to do this, especially those who are a part of our local body, a part of our local assembly, and to be able to look out after them and to be able to create a connection with them that we can have those types of honest conversations with people. And it takes vulnerability. It takes being able to be honest with someone, to not overreact to the criticism that might come, but it is something that is needed within as we grow into the likeness of Christ. So, intentional connection, to be able to come together and to do work, to be able to go to work in each other's lives as we continue to grow towards Christ. Last thing, loving service, or second to last thing. Use of our spiritual gifts, to be able to use what God has given us. Dave did so well, told us about today. We've been given a gift, we've been given a message, and we need to be able to use that. And we need to be able to use that within the body of Christ and together with the body of Christ as we go out to the community. Hebrews 10:23-25, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, and let us consider how to stir up one another to." Dave used this verse this morning. We need to continue to be able to stir one another up, to encourage one another, to be able to go after one another and say, "The Lord has gifted you this way. I think you would do great at this ministry." And then be able to get them paired up with someone who is also good in that way, or who has been gifted in that way, and be able to allow them to learn from them. And that is what hopefully these small groups are able to do, is as we grow spiritually, connect intentionally, that we can then do that not to build into ourselves or to self-feed these groups, but then to serve others as we do that as a group, as a body of believers. It's interesting. A couple things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I didn't realize this until I started reading through this. Many times we have familiar passages that we know, but then for some reason we never make the connection that they come run right after another in Scripture. And it's like, oh yeah, that makes way more sense now that we have this together. So I say 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many of you immediately think, what? Spiritual gifts. That's the part where Paul is teaching the Corinthian church about spiritual gifts. And so he goes through these spiritual gifts. He starts in verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaks in the spirit of God ever saying Jesus is accursed and one who can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And so he tells us that once we are saved, we're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to gift us to be able to do the work of the ministry. And there's lots of different viewpoints on this, but we are all gifted. We'll agree on that right now. We won't have time to dig into spiritual gifts in itself. But I think the important thing to remember as you turn the, as you go down the chapter into verse 12, you come to another familiar section of Scripture. And what section is that? It's where Paul talks about the body of Christ. It's where he explains the body of Christ. And so why has God gifted us? Why has the Holy Spirit given us a gift so that we can function within the body of Christ? And he goes on to say, for as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body though many are one body, so it is in Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink from one Spirit. And so, we are all the body of Christ, although we have different functions. And so, he goes on to say, how can the eye function without the hand? Or as these function together, we are able to be able to do things, to be able to build into one another, to be able to study Scripture, to be able to do ministry together. And so, we're needed. All parts of the body are needed together. There's no sideline spectating that happens within the Christian life, within the body of Christ. We are all needed to be able to function well, to function as a body. The Lord, through His sovereignty, has ordained that we come together and equipped us in a way to be able to function as a body, to do the things that we talked about before, build into one another in order to serve and to be able to share the gospel to others. And we do this through biblical hospitality. This is the last one. It says, there's just something about when we're in the church, we can talk, we can get to know one another. There's just a different level when you cross the threshold of someone's home and you're welcomed in and we sit and we're able to see each other in a more relaxed environment. I think it's intentional when you see this. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality is a command that we have been given that we need to do as the body of Christ. And that takes many forms, and it's been twisted to look different ways with our Americanized version of that. But hospitality is ultimately just being able to offer what is yours to be able to minister to others. It's a welcome in their home. It's different from entertainment. To entertain people, we're doing it. We're inviting people over in order to impress them, in order to make sure that they have a good time. Hospitality just welcomes them into your own space. It welcomes them into a place where you are vulnerable, they are vulnerable, and we're able to be able to come together and to be able to build into one another's lives. He goes on to say in verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak. Let him speak oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength of God that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, as we are continuing to love one another and showing hospitality, being vulnerable to one another, and then being able to use our gifts and with the power of the Spirit working through us, we are able to glorify Christ and be able to make much of Him. Anybody know what the next section is after that passage? Just by curiosity. It goes on to talk about what? It goes on to talk about suffering. This is exactly what we need in order to be able to suffer, going back to carrying one another's burdens. As we suffer together, we cannot carry that burden on our own. And so therefore, we need the body of Christ to be able to carry that well as we go through that. So, back to our original statement. You have to.
I want to pray before tonight.
Yep. What do you need prayer for?
I want to pray before tonight.
Okay. We will pray for you, absolutely. When we get to the end of the service, we'll have a time for prayer for you. Is that all right?
Okay.
So, back to our purpose statement here, to grow in our ability to be the church through spiritual development, intentional connection, and loving service while demonstrating biblical hospitality. So, a few practical things here. What are community groups at WBC are not? What they're not going to be? They're not just going to be a social club. They're not going to be a place where you can go, just have fun, goof off. Though those things may happen, they're going to have a greater end to them. Here's another one that's been asked of me in particular by some people. This is not just an excuse to get rid of the evening service. There's some people who would feel that way, I'm sure, but I am completely convinced, and we are convinced as a leadership group, that this is a chance to be able to do the purpose of the evening service in a more effective way. They do not replace the Sunday morning worship service. In fact, it is dependent on the Sunday morning worship service. So we want you to be here for the Sunday morning worship. We want you to be able to engage. We want you to be able to be a part of it. And then be able to take that into our group and use that as a chance to be able to grow. And it's not just going to be inwardly focused. We're not just going to be concerned. I think through that spiritual service, loving service part of it, we want to be able to take these groups and be able to think, how can we minister to those around us? And how can we love the community that we are in as a group, as we are together? Also, small groups are not just there to meet my needs. That's when many small groups flounder, is when people go into it thinking, I need to have my need for this met, and I'm going to find it within this small group. Small groups are all about loving and serving others, and as we invest into others, then we are able to be to experience the joy that Christ has through that. So, what are these groups going to be? They're going to be a community of believers striving to live out the purpose of the church. And so we are going to be together with the purpose of growing and connecting and then serving others. The other thing that we really want with these groups is we really want them to be intergenerational. We don't want different generations kind of segmenting themselves off to be able to just interact with themselves. We want those who are younger to be able to learn from those who have walked this faith for a long time. And we want those who have walked this faith for a long time to be able to enjoy the energy of those who are younger. And so it's all going to work together as the body of Christ. They're going to be very purposeful. We're not just going to get together for the sake of getting together, but the purpose of doing exactly what I just walked through. The other thing, too, I want to mention, it's going to be messy. It's going to be messy in the fact that not every group is going to look exactly the same. Not every group is going to function exactly the same. And then also messy within groups, because as you get sinners together, we end up hurting one another's feelings. We end up offending one another. We end up each other down, things of that nature, and we're going to have opportunity to grow as we come together and to be able to walk through those things. And so, great hallelujah moments, as Pastor says, to be able to grow as we work through those different aspects of just interacting together. So what's next? Community groups will begin on March 18th. Last week we voted on March 11th. We decided to push that back 1 week to be able to help ourselves get a little more organized. That way we can launch well. Signups will begin next week. Signups will be in the foyer. We'll have the table there. Leaders will be there standing to be able to be a part of that and to be able to help talk to you, figure out where best to go based on a lot of different factors, based on when you can come, who's going to be there, will there be childcare? Child-friendly home, things of that nature. We need to know those information as we work our way through that. I'll tell you that we do have four leaders. We'll have four groups to be able to go to. On the four leaders will be Ed Ruggles, Dan Edwards, John Hurley, and myself. So we'll be leading the four groups. The hosts, Ed's group, Ed's house. The people in my group will be coming to mine at Bethany's home. And then Dan Edwards at Joe and Debbie Gully's house. And then we're looking for one more host site. So if you are interested in doing that, John will be leading at that host site. I just haven't had a chance to talk to the other people and things of that nature. But if that's something that the Lord's laying on your heart and you really want to be a part of that, please let me know and we'll be able to get that set up. Times are to be announced. That's one thing with these groups is we're going to allow the groups, the leaders and the hosts, to get together and discuss and determine what time that they are going to meet. So some may meet at the normal Sunday evening time. Some may meet Sunday afternoon. Some may meet another time during the week. We're not sure when that'll happen, but that'll be up to the group leaders to determine when those are. And so that'll be a part of the discussion as we sign up, is when is a time that you're going to be able to attend based on your schedules, as we all live busy schedules and have busy lives.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Yep. Do what now?
I want to thank this lady right here. Friends, make me walk in.
So, we appreciate you being here. So, also, we want you to go out and to be able to go after people, invite them to be a part of your groups. We want you to be able to recruit people to be in the groups and to function. And then as we get into the groups, to totally engage in those groups. And then feedback. Give us feedback, whether it's things that you like, things that went well, things that you don't like, things that doesn't function well. We really want to know as we evaluate towards the end of May exactly how this went, and we want to be able to make a wise decision based on all the feedback that we get on how do we continue with this. There's, like I said, there's many different ways that we can function in this, and we want to know exactly what's going on. And so that's one reason why we've jumped in with both feet. We're going to do this every week. And to be able to really get a feel for what it's like. We've done it on an every other week or once a month basis. We're going to try it on this end now and then really take all the data that we get from both ends and be able to come together and see what type of ministry looks best for Wheelersburg Baptist Church. So we do have a little bit of time here before we pray to answer any questions or thoughts that may come to mind. I may not have the answers for you, but I'd like to hear your questions, your concerns, your thoughts right away, and be able to maybe address some things that I may not have addressed during this time. So any questions or thoughts about the growth or the community groups that will be happening? Any questions? Potentially. The way we're going to start off, we have a little bit of time, so if the group leader finds something they really want to study, they'll be able to do that. But we're going to start off with discussing the morning message, and then as the group gets together, if they find a topic that they want to study, they may launch off into that topic and study that topic. So they will communicate with Pastor and myself just to make sure we're all on the same page and knowing what's going on. But each group could be studying different things, yes. End of May. Yep. So it'll be about 10, 11 weeks that we're going to do this. So I think it's 10. So any other questions?
Man, I'd like to be the other group to meet at our house, but I'll have to check with Don and I'll let you know. But I think it'll be doing good.
I'm glad you said that because one, thank you. But people like Don are people that I thought of with this that may not necessarily be able to make it into church, but to be able to sit in someone's home and to be able to be a part of the body is will be another benefit to doing these types of groups. So, any other thoughts or questions? Well, I'm available. Like I said, we haven't worked through all the details yet. And I know there's other questions out there because I've heard them through the grapevine, but come and ask me. And if you go ask any of the board members, they're probably going to point you to me. Don't be offended by that, but that's all right. So they can do that as we work our way through. So, like I said, I'm excited about these groups. I'm excited about their potential. I'm excited about growing together and seeing the way the Lord uses them and then being able to really take an honest look at what we want to be able to do. If you want to know more information, We did this book as a growth group like 6 or 7 years ago. I don't even remember who all was in that group, but it's called Why Small Groups. It's edited by C.J. Mahaney. If you get this, it's excellent. I'm talking about the value of small groups and goes through a lot of the details of small groups. So if you want to know more about it, grab this book. If you go to, it's graceky.org, it's Grace Fellowship, that the church I mentioned earlier, they actually have a digital copy of this book on their website. You can click through their small group section, get through a couple of links, and then you can be able to get to the digital copy of this, or you can get online and order a copy of this too. So be able to work your way through that, and if you have questions on that as well, we'd be glad to talk to you about that. So any other thoughts before we wrap up in prayer? So, what's your name again, brother?
Tony.
Donna knows me. Donna knows you? And you've been here before, we remember. So, gotcha. So, does someone want to pray for him? Pray for our brother tonight and to be able to help him with whatever he's struggling with. So, what's that? Gotcha. So who would want to lead in prayer? Jim, thank you very much.
Heavenly Father, Lord,